You're listening to the Jim Richards Podcast from News Talk 1010.
Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. Hello. Hello. Hello, everyone.
Apparently, Gwyneth Paltrow's neighbors down in Los Angeles say she was a horrible neighbor, which I know is really surprising because every other aspect of her life, she seemed like such a delight. There's a new trend in taking selfies by wrapping your face in plastic. All you need is a smartphone, tape, and a sad need for attention. And Courtney Love is working on a Kurt Cobain musical. I don't want to ruin the ending, but I hear it ends with a bang.
Is he saying something funny?
I know. It sucked. I'm sorry. I'm Jim Richards.
I'd like to welcome everyone back. I'm
so proud of myself. Hey, everyone. Thank you very much for your time on... It's a pretty overcast day. 5 degrees. Yeah, that's necessary. I agree with that. There's a Toronto woman who's trying to encourage more females to go topless. And she's on a topless Tour de Canada. And her name is Serenity Hart. And she's going to be in this very studio coming up in a half an hour here on In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010. Vodka. There are some people who would like Russian vodka to be banned by the LCBO. We'll talk to those people in an hour. And a CFL player who was beaten up by Peel Regional Police, like brutally beaten up for no apparent reason at all. He has issued an open letter forgiving the cops. And the cops, by the way, one of them was actually convicted and is now off of the force. That is all coming up on this, the show, Graham. And hi, everyone. I'm Jim Richards. Let me reenact what happened off the air a couple of seconds ago. I think I was coughing. I have been coughing ever since I was sick last Monday. Let's have a little sad music for me because I think it's appropriate that I am the host and I get to make it sound like people should feel sorry for me. So I was coughing. And Dave, you could attest to this. Dave Bradley is the breaking news producer. This is not breaking news, but I was coughing. You were concerned.
I heard the cough, and I asked if you were dying.
Yeah, and you asked if I was dying, and what did my producer Britt say?
Actually, I didn't even hear it, to be honest with you.
You didn't? Oh, I heard it. I heard it. There's something about my great hearing that my ears perk up, and I'm the only one that can hear the noise of Britt. I shouldn't say noise. Britt said, I hope so. My death. Imminent. But she's encouraging me to go to the doctor. I didn't know it was Kevorkian. All right, so that's just a little bit of the behind the studio, behind the magic of the show, Graham, if there is any magic. All right, if you do not know, Project Brazen 2 documents have been released. What's that? That's part of the investigation that the police had into Rob Ford and what shenanigans might have been around the crack-smoking video. And basically, it looks like Sandra Lisi, that was Rob Ford's former driver and good friend, who he's not going to throw under the bus. It looks like he was going ape, you know what, trying to find the video in the area of town where it was shot. And a lot of people in that area were afraid that the police were going to raid and look for guns and, you know, drugs and all that kind of stuff. But there doesn't seem to be anything that can attach the mayor to the actions of his pal, Sandra Lisi.
No. And this is the last bit of documents that we will see with regards to this Project Brazen 2 investigation involving Sandra Lisi and Mayor Rob Ford. And what's most important to come out of these documents is that there is nothing definitively linking Mayor Rob Ford with anything criminal. And as a result, the likelihood of seeing Mayor Rob Ford get charged criminally is really quite slim at this point. That's from our News Talk 1010's legal expert, Edward Prucci, who spoke to him just a little while ago. And he says, the longer this goes on without charges, the less likely we'll see Mayor Rob Ford
in
handcuffs.
Yeah, whether it's Rob, whether it's Stephen Harper's chief of staff, who people allege that Stephen Harper didn't know that his chief of staff was buying off Mike Duffy, or people are alleging that Dalton McGuinty wouldn't have to necessarily know that his chief of staff was allegedly wiping computers clean. I don't know, and so do we definitively know that Rob Ford would have had anything to do with the actions of Sandra Lisi, who's not a chief of staff but is a very close friend? Was he just winging this, trying to get the video back, or is Rob smart enough not to be on record on any phones or any texts? We'll never know, perhaps.
Well, potentially we could find out when this case does go to trial in about a year, maybe even a little bit more than a year. But at this point, I mean, Mayor Ford's name is mentioned throughout these wiretap conversations that were intercepted by police. I mean, it's mentioned by alleged gang members. It's mentioned by Sandra Lisi. It's mentioned by the lady who owns 15 Windsor Road, the house where
the alleged crack video house.
That's
and
it.
What does she say about him? She says that Rob Ford's an effing idiot or something like that?
Yeah, that's exactly
what she
said. The
lady who runs the crack house said that about the mayor.
Yeah.
So it doesn't look like charges are going to be forthcoming.
That's the main thing we can take away from this last document dump, and it will be the last document dump. We'll find out more information, as I mentioned, during the trial. But no charges now for Mayor Rob Ford, and charges in the future, highly, highly unlikely.
Well, thank you very much for your time, David.
Thanks,
Bradley,
Jim.
Breaking news producer. Rob Ford, with these reports that he will not face criminal charges, will this breathe some air into his election campaign, re-election campaign? I don't know that it will, because I think a lot of people who are going to vote for him, look at his numbers, they're pretty solid right now. But when Rob Ford says this, does it perhaps fan the flames that would kind of side with him?
I want to see how much money he spent on following me around. And if he's going to arrest me, arrest me. I have done nothing wrong, and he's wasted millions of dollars.
You know, they follow me around, and
he's referring to here in this when he says, I want to see how much money he has spent. He's talking about the chief of police, Bill Blair.
You know, they follow me around and for 5 months and came up empty-handed. I just want him to come clean with the taxpayers. How much money has he spent? And they're spending millions of dollars following me around and come up empty-handed. That bothers me.
So that's Rob Ford basically saying that this was political because Bill Blair doesn't like Rob Ford, and Rob Ford wouldn't reappoint Chief Bill Blair, so Bill Blair wanted to get something on Rob Ford and get him out of the way. That's the math if you're in Ford Nation. I don't buy that at all, but I'm wondering if the knowledge now that Rob Ford is not likely to face criminal charges, if you think that will breathe new life into Rob Ford's re-election campaign. Here are the phone lines, 416-872-1010. StarTalk is *8255. I still don't think it looks great on him, what his friend Sandra Lisi was trying to do to get that video. Not fantastic. If you believe that Rob didn't have anything to do with that, then fine. But this whole talking point of why was the police looking after me, looking into me? Two people were shot. One person is dead. One person was stabbed. And you don't think that's a good enough reason to try to figure out what the hell is going on? Again, two people were shot. One was stabbed. One is dead. And you don't think that the police should be investigating the chief magistrate using drugs, drinking and driving and hanging around with thugs at a noted crack house? That would have me question who is actually on crack if you don't think that that's something that the police should be investigating. But now that we know that there might not be, probably not charges, does that breathe new life into his reelection campaign? Here are the lines, 416-872-1010. StarTalk is *8255. It's 15 minutes after 1 o'clock. In-depth radio in Toronto News Talk 1010, time saver traffic. 20 years ago, Gwen Jacobs from Guelph fought for the right to go topless. And everybody thought, oh, everybody's going to be topless after that. Not so much. There's a woman who wants females to go topless and feel comfortable in society. She's going topless tour to Canada. She'll be in studio just after 1:30. Rob Ford has consistently said that he wants to see how much money the chief of police spent investigating him for his use of crack cocaine.
I want to see how much money he spent on following me around. And if he's going to arrest me, arrest me. I have done nothing wrong, and he's wasted millions of dollars.
You know, they follow me around and for 5 months and came up empty handed. I just want him to come clean with the taxpayers. How much money has he spent? And they're spending millions of dollars following me around and come up empty-handed, that bothers me.
I wonder how many cases, in general, the police investigate and no charges are laid, or there's no conviction. Not just because of the mayor, but if you honestly believe that there was some sort of calculated political call here from Chief Bill Blair, I mean, give your head a shake. Two people were shot. One was stabbed. A mayor doing crack cocaine, hanging around with gangbangers, and drinking and driving. And that's not worthy of an investigation? I'm not saying that you shouldn't support Rob. The more I listen to some of these candidates, I like what he has to say. Always have liked what he has to say. Just don't like the you-know-what show that goes along with it. Brian, will this breathe new life into his reelection campaign?
Actually, I'm shocked that he's not going to face any kind of charges. I mean, you've mentioned two guys shot, one guy dead. You forgot the fourth guy that got thrown off of a sixth floor balcony in Edmonton. So this transcends the country. It goes from Toronto to Edmonton. So Chief Bill Blair did his job. Rob Ford talks about this, leave no stone unturned when it comes to the law and when it comes to taxes and when it comes to saving people money. Well, you know what? The police chief did his job, Robbie, so you better get your crap together because they're on you, and too bad for
you. It certainly seems to be a little more coincidental when your best friend is turning over the city trying to find a videotape, but if there's nothing to link them, nothing concrete to link them other than their friendship, then the police have nothing to go on. Patricia, does this breathe new life into the mayor's reelection campaign?
I feel the same about Rob Ford. I'm a Rob Ford supporter. I'm not surprised about today's news. I didn't think anything was ever there, nor did a lot of people.
Why did you not think there was nothing there?
I don't know. I can tell you, Rob Ford's whole job in office has been a witch hunt against him. The media, everybody, certain counselors. And it's too bad because I think he's done a lot of good stuff for the city. And I think other politicians out there that are drunk and drinking and doing whatever they're doing, they have good relations with the media.
Yep.
There's no witch hunt on them. So, of course, they're not exploited. But here's what I do want to say. I think this information should there should be an investigation, and a cost should be given to the taxpayers on how much this investigation costs, because I do not believe that investigations as these go on with not as many facts. I think
Patricia,
it was a witch hunt.
Do you want the information to be disclosed about every investigation involving the murder of somebody if there's not a charge laid?
No, I want this one done, and I'll tell you why. Because at the beginning of the show, you mentioned a couple things, and you didn't think it was true. And I do think it's true.
I think
Bill Blair, was done under Rob Ford's administration.
That has nothing to do, Patricia, with the fact that this guy smoked crack. Now, you're right that the left... Hold on,
right,
Patricia. The left is out to get him. They have been. There's no question about that. But you can't tell me that because people are out to get you, you get to do crack and get off scot-free and then wonder why the police are investigating you, especially when there are a couple of people dead, stabbed and shot, and then you're, blaming everybody else but yourself. You're the one who did crack. But now we know that it doesn't look like any charges are going to be laid against our mayor, Rob Ford. So does this breathe new life into his campaign? I know it's convenient to overlook the fact that a couple of people are dead. And I'm not saying that the Ford administration had anything to do with that other than making that video a hot commodity, and, people in that neighborhood did not like that. Jerry, you support the mayor?
Yeah, oh, for sure, 100%. I'm not surprised by the report, and, I find it just amazing that you can go 5 months, spend millions of dollars, get helicopters involved because there's an alleged video of him smoking crack. Meanwhile, you got gangbangers, you got... legitimately, like there's real criminals out there that are in the criminal element, and they're not even being investigated to the full extent that a politician is. I understand he has to be investigated, but there are so many criminals out there that are legitimate criminals that millions of dollars could have been put towards legitimate investigations.
Well, we don't know if it's $1 million. People are guessing at how much it could have been. But again, I would still tell you that I think when people are dead and people are stabbed and people, including the mayor's buddy, are threatening a good portion of people who live in a certain area, then that is worthy of an investigation. But does it breathe new life into his campaign, George?
It's bad news for Mr. Tory, if nothing else.
All right. Anything else?
No, I just think the beneficiary today is Ms. Chow, because the right will split the vote. Ford should not be running. He should have resigned, but yep. Didn't.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I don't know that this is anything for Rob Ford to be proud of today. I mean, to do all of the things he's done and then to be so happy that he's not going to get charged, it doesn't mean that he didn't do some of the other things that he has admitted to. It just means that he either two things. He didn't have anything to do with his friend going rogue, or Mr. Mayor is smart enough not to have put any of it into writing in a text, or you know, have the phone call be monitored. That's all that it means. I mean, is there anything documenting the mayor saying to Sandro Lisi, "Sandro, stop going crazy and turning that end of the city upside down"? Is there any proof that he did that? Here is John. John, you're not surprised by this.
I'm not surprised by this in the least, because the fact is he wasn't taking a video. A video was taken of him smoking crack, and he admitted to. All he had to do was solve this was say, it was marijuana I smoked. You can stop with the, you know, these people are dead, this people are dead. It's got nothing to do with him. He was on a video where he was smoking something, okay? So he admitted to smoking crack, okay? He's admitted to doing drugs. He's admitted to drinking.
I don't know why you don't think that
the, knows about it.
Nobody's trying to link the murders of those people to him, other than that they were involved in a video that was a hot commodity. That video is certainly connected to, you know, the shooting of that one man and his death, shooting of another man, and a stabbing of another man. It certainly is connected. It's not Rob's fault, but it is one of the reasons. Here's Peter. You're not surprised by this news, Peter.
No, not really. I'm disappointed. And after all, you know, the mayor is saying that he wants the chief to come forward and be honest with the people and how much it costs and all of that. How much it costs doesn't matter. You have to follow up on these things. Also, why wouldn't you, in fairness, the mayor is a proven liar. He's an admitted liar. And all of a sudden, what's changed in the world that all of a sudden it's okay for people who represent the country, the city or the country to go around making an idiot of himself? He's brought all of this on himself, sir.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree with that. I don't know that this, just because there's no charges being laid, if that turns out to be true, that that's anything to be really proud of, given the long, you know, disgraceful record in terms of behavior outside of office, Rob
Ford.
Bad
boys, bad boys. What you going to do? What do they
Paul, you're on In-Depth Radio.
Yeah, thanks. I think it really is unfortunate. He probably will spin this. It'll give him a boost. But the Ford guys will spin this like they spin everything else. I'm surprised. I don't know. I didn't hear when that they've actually announced there will not be any charges brought against them. You've been saying that it's unlikely that they will. Has there been a statement come from the police?
There has not been any statement from the police, but there have been leaks and reports to members of the media suggesting that it is essentially true, and that's what our legal analyst Edward Prucci chimed in about an hour ago on the Jerry Agar show. So there you go, folks. Another episode of Rob Ford, mayor of the city of Toronto. Before 2 o'clock, women, you've got the right to go topless. One woman is on a cross-country protest wondering why you're not joining her before 2.
You can listen to Jim Richards live every weekday afternoon from 1 to 4 on NewsTalk1010.com.
All right, it's In-Depth Radio Toronto, NewsTalk 1010. In a half an hour here on this very radio station, there's an effort from some local MPPs. They want to ban Russian vodka because of Russia's actions in Ukraine and Crimea. So is that something that you'd be in favor of? We'll talk to some of them coming up in a half an hour here on In-Depth Radio Toronto, NewsTalk 1010. Well, I'm old enough to remember about 20 years ago listening to this very radio station when one of the topics was, is it okay that women who want to go topless in public should be able to be topless? And I could remember people calling in claiming that it would be the end of the world, that women would be topless everywhere, and how could society tolerate women being topless? But the fact of the matter is, women, through Gwen Jacobs, won the right to be topless if they wanted to, as Gwen here said about 20 years ago.
I spearheaded this movement. I didn't really mean to start a movement. I was just trying to catch a breeze. I was 19 years old. Today, you know, I may take my shirt off here and there occasionally, but it's not something, you know, it's like, okay, we can, so let's all.
So that's Gwen Jacobs, who is from Guelph, who started this. I don't want to say started this, but 20 years ago, everybody thought, again, it was just ridiculous listening to the radio station with every caller saying, women are going to be topless everywhere. There are going to be breasts. And the reality is, there were none. No one. Until today. Yesterday at Yonge Dundas Square, some people might have been shocked by a topless young woman who is now taking the topless tour de Canada from coast to coast, bringing her cause to cities from all over the nation. We're joined right now by Serenity Hart. Serenity, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, well, we're happy to have you. Now, what is it that you do for a living?
I work as a nude model.
A nude model. What does that mean?
Basically means I take off my clothes. I work hand in hand with photographers and artists across the country.
Okay. So is this one of the reasons that you are here today? And the hashtag that your publicist just put in front of my face is this half is not indecent,
yes,
which is
that
the
is
hashtag on Twitter and on social media that you want people to use. This half is not indecent.
Yes.
Why are you undertaking this effort to try to encourage women to, well, first, what are you trying to encourage women to do?
It's a better discussion. The encouragement will definitely sort of flow as the whole campaign takes place. And the idea when you get to see other women doing something that you might have thought about doing but haven't had the courage to do it, I feel like this discussion will sort of, I guess, shed light on those areas where people or women want to do it and they don't feel like they can.
Now, obviously, as we just established, that women can, but just because they can, does it mean that they should?
Right. They should or they will. And the idea of the they should do it really comes down to a lot of the stigma and the shame that's attached to toplessness for women. Like Gwen was saying, you know, it's a hot day. She took off her shirt and it caused this big uproar. I feel like it's, you know, if people are seeing women do it more often like they do see with males. Again, yesterday's stunt was freezing yesterday. I'm not saying anybody'd be going outside with their top off in the cold. But it's, you know, in the summertime, it's just a lot of people who do go tanning, you know, why would they want to have tan lines or why would they want that stigma to be attached to it? So it's more of a discussion about why women aren't doing it. And the questions along the way, it's sort of forming that.
You know, there is a double standard because men's breasts, I guess, are not sexualized in the same way that women's breasts are sexualized. So is that something that you'll ever be able to overcome?
I don't know if it's going to happen in my lifetime. But again, this movement is sort of to start that. Like you said, in the idea of male's breast, I feel like, you know, there are men's boobs that are bigger than mine. And when they walk the streets, hairy or not, nobody takes out their camera phone and snaps pictures of them. But when I do it, you know, there's there's traffic in the streets, there's police officers approaching me. You know, it's just, it's turned into this bigger thing than I really expected.
What did
it to
the
be.
Cops say to you yesterday?
Yesterday they came over, they were asking what we were filming, and I said that there was no filming going on. It was just pictures with the audience.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, you know, we've had some complaints, and we basically just need to come over and have a discussion with you. He grabbed one of my postcards, and he just walked away. That was basically what happened. He said he knew that it's right and that it's legal to do it, sorry, and that was fine.
Serenity okay. Hardy is in studio, and she's going right across the country to try to encourage people to change the way they view women going topless. Her hashtag on Twitter is, "This half is not indecent." Were people taking pictures of you yesterday when you were topless at Yonge and Dundas Square, and did it bother you?
Yes, people were taking pictures. Was it bothering me? Definitely not. I knew that was what was going to happen. I'm in the center of the core of the city.
Yeah.
It wasn't a big deal. I knew that that's how I'm going to spread the word, essentially, whether it's people sexualizing it or people thinking that this is cool and giving me a high five as they're passing by. The pictures were there.
Are you getting the attention for the right reasons, in that are you getting those guys with their cell phones rather than women kind of, you know, having this discussion about whether or not I should, you know, view taking off my top differently?
There's going to be both ends of the party. I can't really shy away from one or the other. Men are going to show up and take pictures. I had a couple of people that were literally there for the entire time that I was posing. Again, it's I'm going to get both sides of the story. And, you know, there were a lot of women who did approach it. And a lot of European women were like, this is actually normal for me. You know, there's naked women in Europe. And versus, you know, being in Toronto, where we feel like we sort of missed an era where it was okay ever or acceptable, so to speak. And then it not being.
Yeah, but even in Europe, I mean, the beaches might be one thing. But if you're walking down the street in Paris or London or Berlin, it's not as if you see topless women walking down the street.
No,
at least
no.
I didn't see last summer when I was there.
No, I definitely don't think that it's an ongoing thing. The discussion is more about why women, you know, if they're going to feel comfortable, it's like the gay pride parade.
Sure.
And that's when they decide to take off their shirt, you know?
Sure. Now, we have cameras in here. They're all over the place. There's four cameras in here.
Okay.
And so people can watch and can watch online, and they do watch online for what reason, I do not know. Other than, as you can see right up there on our text board, we're getting texts from listeners who are wondering why you're not doing the interview.
The interview topless. Well, I actually did not know that there were cameras in here. Now that I know that there are cameras, if it is cool for me to be topless, I totally do that.
I don't know if it's cool. I'm just asking the question because that's what the listeners want to know. I want to ask women how they feel about Serenity's fight to change the way we view women being topless in society. 416-872-1010. Star Talk is star 8255. Is it something that you would be comfortable doing? And is this a fight that you think needs to be fought for you? 416-872-1010. More with Serenity Hart. Again, her hashtag on Twitter is "This half is not indecent." And she's planning on touring across the country topless. 145, News Talk 1010, Time Saver Traffic. We have people looking into whether or not Serenity is. Please tell people that I'm not encouraging you to take off your shirt.
They could just see my hashtag on my shirt.
Yes. I'm not encouraging this. Honestly, my first reaction is, let's find out what Bell Media's stance would be before I encourage this to happen. But Serenity Hart is with us, and she yesterday was at Yonge Dundas Square. She was topless in the cold. She's trying to encourage a conversation that would have women change the way they feel about being topless in public. A lot of people say, we don't even want to see men topless in public, so why would women want to do something that a lot of men don't even feel comfortable doing, or women don't even want to see men, so why would they want to see other women?
I think that's a discussion in itself. The idea that women are afraid to look at another woman's body, or they feel that another woman's body is indecent, or they feel that, you know, if their kids are looking or the people that they're with, you know, will be embarrassed for them or shameful for them. And I think that is a part of the discussion, is that the idea that women are shamed or feeling ashamed of their own bodies, and therefore putting that energy into other people and saying that you should also be ashamed. And, you know, it comes down to morals and indecency and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a couple of phone calls. Again, whether or not women in Canada should be in the summer years or summer months going topless. And are we finding out whether or not we're okay with her going topless in here? Is there somebody looking into that? Here's Michael. Michael, you're uncomfortable with it?
Hello, P. people. Yeah, I'm a little bit uncomfortable with it. I remember when this law passed. I think it was close to 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember that summer well because there was always people spotting someone who, I guess the word would be courageous enough to take advantage of the new law. And I was at a Rush concert at the amphitheater, and yeah, one or two ladies decided to go topless, and it was okay for the moment, but then it became very uncomfortable. And the only reason I can explain, and I'm European, where they have a lot of topless beaches. If it's not the norm or if it's the minority, then it becomes a little bit more of an uncomfortable feeling. Here, I guess you're advocating, or more or less you're force feeding us to change our cultural beliefs. And I think we should probably consider baby steps first rather than just, you know, do some, maybe introduce more
baby steps. It's been 15 years and nobody's even learned how to walk on this.
You know
thing.
What, Jim? We're Canadians and we're very idealistic people. And it won't happen this fast, this soon.
Yeah. Michael, thanks for your phone call, but I think you bring up a good point. I mean, women probably just don't want the attention of guys drooling all over them, staring and pointing, and, you know, that's going to take about 5 years of probably that happening.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree. It's there, and it's, you know, that's what the discussion is about. It's about the stigma. It's about why women don't feel comfortable, and it's about why men, you know, would love to see some women's boobs, but not their mothers or their sisters
what
or their
daughters. What about your mom?
And
your sisters, how do they feel about this?
My mom's, she's not really a huge supporter. She's not a big fan of me taking off my shirt. My dad is a supporter of me. He has been from the get-go when I first started modeling. But, yeah, it's a learning process. It's a curve. It's something to unlearn, you know, the way that we've been taught.
That's Serenity Hart. She wants women to know that it's legal to go topless and feel that you should be proud. I don't know, proud of your body.
Yes,
comfortable.
Proud.
Proud of
yes.
your body. Okay. you should be proud of your body. Here's Ashley on News Talk 1010. Ashley?
Hey, thanks for having me on. I can kind of see where she's coming from. I really hope this isn't just a publicity thing she's doing to get her modeling career up. But I agree with us having the choice. I personally wouldn't do it myself, and I'm kind of insulted that she thinks it's because I'm ashamed of my body. I would say it's the opposite. I'm really proud of my body, and I think somebody has to earn the right to see certain parts of it. And just to flaunt them, I don't agree with at all, especially with me having a young daughter as well. I want her to learn that men have to earn that right to see them. They're beautiful, and it's a gift, you know, whoever does get the pleasure of getting to see them, if that makes sense.
All right. Ashley, well, I think it does make sense, but I think that also is a, you know, different body view than you have.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Ashley, I think you make a great point. I definitely, I know that there's a lot of people within my own family and friends that feel the same way. And, you know, a woman's body is something to cherish and something to keep under wraps. And it's, you know, you only expose that for, I guess, technically the right person when they come along. And I feel like that message in itself is very oppressive to women, feeling like they, you know, they need to only be self-expressive during those moments when they finally meet someone.
I have received corporate condoning of whatever you would like to do. I do not want to have any vote in this, but if you would like to be topless for the rest of the interview, you are more than allowed to be topless.
Do we have viewers watching? Like people are hanging out with us?
Yeah, we have these cameras and those cameras. And so, yeah.
All right, let's do this then. Let's do it. We'll do it right here.
It's at newstalk1010.com. Serenity Hart, who has a... we have webcams up, and do we know what webcam angle is up right now? I don't know. Okay. So this is happening right now, ladies and gentlemen, and I don't know if I'm supposed to be providing play-by-play, and she is now topless. Okay, so that just happened.
I do want to remind people that I am raising $13,000 to do the tour across Canada. My Kickstarter launched about 30 minutes ago. So, yeah, it's real. Ashley was making asking about, you know, whether this is a stunt or not. I've been doing this nude modeling and this self-expression for the last 6 years, and it's definitely not a stunt for me. It's a lifestyle. It's how I live my life every day. So,
would you say that you're a nudist?
I guess if I need to fall into a category, that definitely would help, yeah.
Peggy, are you willing to go, or do you feel comfortable going topless? And is it something you think women should be fighting for and doing?
I don't think they should do it because I don't really want to see women out there in the nude, and I don't want to see men or topless, and I don't want to see men topless either, no matter how good they look.
Yeah.
That's just how I feel personally. I don't think they should be ashamed of it, but I don't think they should be walking around the street topless.
Do you ever go skinny dipping?
Pardon?
Do you ever go skinny dipping?
Yeah, I have, but it was dark.
Now, let me ask your publicist, is this something, because you're in the studio as well, Danielle?
Yes.
Is it something that you would do? Yes, you're on.
I would do it. I mean, I actually gave her a picture of me topless in Florida 3 weeks ago. I stood out in the pool, did a selfie, and she's going to put a hashtag over it. This half is not indecent. I love my breasts, but I wouldn't walk around topless. No, I think most men want to see my breasts, so I actually would want to not them. I don't want them to see it unless they're really lucky.
So
totally agree with what she's doing.
What's the website? Because you are raising money in order to go across the country to raise awareness for
it. So if they head to Kickstarter.com and look up Topless Tour to Canada or the hashtag This Half Is Not Indecent, they will find it.
All right. Here's Heather. Heather, is it something that you feel is important to fight for, the right for women to be recognized as equal in the ability to go topless just like men?
No, I don't. And I don't need to walk around and looking at women's breasts or men's or whatever. We have a little bit of pride in our body. A little bit of modesty is a good thing. And breasts are supposed to be for breastfeeding. That's really what we have them for, not to say we have gorgeous breasts. We have breasts for breastfeeding. There's so many people out there that are against that. And now we've got a girl there flaunting on her, get her modeling career up, saying she's got great breasts. Oh, come on, get with it.
All right. It's not, you've claimed that it's not to, this is not to promote for self-promotion. It's for your belief that people should be treated equally.
Yeah, it really is. And the idea that people attach morals and pride and those types of words along the idea of whether someone who feels comfortable enough to walk around topless, I think it says a lot about, I guess, how those people have been brought up and the idea of what they categorize as right and wrong, so to speak. I don't think that it's less prideful of somebody who does want to, you know, walk around topless or top free. If they decide to do that, I don't think that there is no pride in that. You know, I take great dignity in what I do, and I feel like people who would take that stance sort of don't have the same viewpoint. And that's cool, too. You know, it's different.
The hashtag again is This Half Is Not Indecent.
It is.
This Half Is Not Indecent. And the Kickstarter is?
It's Kickstarter.com. And if you just take a look, it's Topless Tour to Canada or This Half Is Not Indecent.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah, still really quickly. They can find me on Twitter as well at Serenity Heart. That's good.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. And good luck with the Topless Tour to Canada.
Thank you.
I hope people will be paying attention for maybe the right and wrong reasons, but I guess that's the point in getting your point across.
You can listen to Jim Richards live every weekday afternoon from 1 to 4 on NewsTalk1010.com.
Okay. We're back here on In-Depth Radio in Toronto, NewsTalk 1010. I wanted to remind everybody, coming up after 4 o'clock, we're going to have Perdita Felicien. She's going to be hosting the live drive. And your opportunity to win $5,000 comes on Friday. Perdita is going to give you the newsmaker of the day today. And if you write all five of them down and you're the correct caller through on Friday, you've got $5,000. And we'll talk to Perdita and Ryan and find out what's coming up on the live drive in an hour. I was touched by an article that I saw in the paper over the weekend of a man who was savagely beaten by the police. And yet he pens an open letter to the officers involved from Peel Regional Police, telling them that he forgives them. And that man is in studio right now, and we thank him very much for his time. Orlando Bowen is a former CFL linebacker, played with the Argos. And at the time that this happened, you were playing for, first of all, thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Jim. Really appreciate it.
You were playing for the Tiger Cats when this happened, and you were savagely beaten almost 10 years ago, right? Or more than 10 years ago now. March 26, 2004, you were playing for the Hamilton franchise.
Yes, that's correct.
And this beating took place in Mississauga.
Yep.
So can you take us back to that night as described in the Toronto Star and what these two officers did to you?
Sure. So I was connecting with a couple of my teammates, and we were going to carpool in Mississauga and head downtown Toronto to celebrate, go out, get some food and what have you. And so I arrived at a carpool location first, Dixie and Eglinton, behind a club. And I parked my vehicle, and as I'm talking to one of my colleagues on the phone, I saw two guys walking towards me, and one of them said, "Hey, man, what you got? Got any drugs?" And I looked at them with, you know, disappointment, because I had spent so much time and so putting in so much work trying to steer young people on the right path.
That was your thing,
That's what we were doing.
Yeah.
And but then I thought these gentlemen would have no idea of that, so I just answered the question. I said, "Nope." I went back to my call. One of the gentlemen stopped at the rear of my vehicle. The other one kept walking. And the one that stopped said, "Are you sure you don't have anything?" So I'm thinking, you asked me a question. Why would you be asking me if I'm sure? So I looked to see where the other gentleman was, and he was standing in my blind spot.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a step back so I could see both of them at the same time. And I said, "What's going on?" Well, to make a long story short, there wasn't a whole lot of dialogue. They grabbed me, started going through my pockets, threw me down to the ground, or were trying to get me down onto the ground, and you know, started to beat me.
These are two Peel Regional police officers, and Orlando Bowen is in studio telling us his story of how he was beaten by cops 10 years ago. So, Orlando, they didn't identify themselves?
So initially, when they came up and they grabbed me and they started going through my pockets, I was kind of like, you know, what's going on? And one of the guys said, you know, I'm a police officer. So I said, oh, okay, cool, because we were doing a lot of work with the police. I was a spokesperson for the police force. I was going
into
schools.
Which police force?
Peel.
Peel. You were a spokesperson for the Peel Regional Police going into schools telling kids not to do drugs.
Correct.
And this was happening to you.
Right.
They told you they were police? Did they show you a badge?
No. So they said that they were police and that they wanted to go through my pocket. So I said, okay, sure, no problem. I don't have anything to hide.
Which you're legally allowed to say no.
Right.
Unless they have something on you.
Right.
And yet you allowed them to do that.
Correct.
Why? Just to get it over with?
Yeah. I don't have anything to hide. You know, I do a lot of work with the police. Go ahead, do your thing.
Yeah.
Right? So they go through my pockets. They don't find anything. So I said, okay, cool. Am I good to go? And then one of them said, no, we've got to put the cuffs on you. So I said, for what? And so imagine there's I'm standing outside the driver's side door of my vehicle, one gentleman on my right, one on my left.
And they just patted you down.
They just patted me down and didn't find anything. And then one says, we have to put the cuffs on you. So I said, for what? And then the gentleman on my left punches me in my side and says, just do what you're told, you effing a-hole. So I'm thinking, that's an odd comment to become after, you know, what's just transpired. So I looked to his colleague to, you know, to say, is he okay type thing. And, you know, after he punched me in my side, his sleeve was rolled up, and I looked down and I saw a tattoo of an eagle with a dagger in its talons and blood dripping from the dagger. And I, putting two and two together, I just thought, these guys aren't police officers. There's no way. The behavior, the approach, the language doesn't coincide. It doesn't jive with all the work that I've been doing and all the officers that I know.
Sure.
So I knock his hand off me and I run towards the front of the vehicle, then up the front, then up the passenger side, and I start to run and I hear the word, stop or I'll shoot. So I stopped and I'm thinking, oh my God, these guys, are you really?
Yeah.
So I said, what's going on? But there was no dialogue. They just came and it was, you know, fist flying and they're trying to get my leg to collapse.
And that's when they started beating you?
Yes.
And how long did the beating take place?
I don't know. It seemed like an eternity at the time.
And what condition were you in after they had finished beating you?
Well, I remember being face down on the pavement, and I was thinking, I can't believe my life is going to end like this. Like, I never would have dreamt that this is how it would end. And I just thought, I just want to be able to see my family again. My wife and I had one son. He was just over a year. She was pregnant. And we were doing a lot of work in the community. I said, I've got too much in me to give. Don't let me die like this. So it was tough. There was, you know, blood running down my forehead and down my face. And so it was a really difficult time knowing that I was going to die.
Yeah. That's Orlando Bowen, who was beaten by Peel Regional Police 10 years ago. And he's penned a very touching open letter to of forgiveness to these two police officers. So you are there, you're bleeding, you're injured, you've just been beaten by these two police officers, and they take you in, they plant drugs on you, correct?
No. So with the drug portion, I didn't actually find out. And so I'm taken to the station. They call for backup. Okay, so I've been beaten. I'm face down. They pin me down. They call for backup. Backup in uniform now comes. They put me in the back of a cruiser, take me to the police station. While I'm in the station, you know, there's a number of ironic things that happen in there. But hours pass, and I heard them releasing people and asking people, how are you getting home? So I'm thinking, okay, I had been asking for a phone call for a number of times, which I was denied any opportunity to call. So I figure, okay, they're letting people go home. They're likely planning to let me go home sometime soon as well. So I see a gentleman walking past, and I said, excuse me, when do I get to go home? And he looks at me and he says, you're not going home. You have a bail hearing. So I said, excuse me, a bail hearing for what? And he says, don't you know what you've been charged with? And I said, I've been charged? And he said, yeah. He said, you've been charged with assaulting a police officer, 2 counts, and possession of a controlled substance. That was the first time I heard anything about being charged. I didn't even know I was under arrest.
Yeah.
Right? So it was a shock. I thought he likely had me confused with somebody. Maybe, you know, he was the wrong cell he was talking to. But I was shocked. I actually didn't believe that I was being charged until they came and opened my cell up and handcuffed me to 3 other guys.
That's Orlando Bowen. Again, he's a former CFL player, a linebacker beaten by 2 Peel Regional Police just over 10 years ago. You might be shocked at his attitude towards those police officers and what he has penned, an open letter to them, and what he says to them. You'll hear that before 3 o'clock. More of his story and how it evolved in a moment. It's 2:45 In-Depth Radio in Toronto News Talk 1010, Time Saver Traffic. 2:46 here on In-Depth Radio in Toronto News Talk 1010. I'm Jim Richards. Orlando Bowen played for the Hamilton Tiger Cats and also for the Toronto Argonauts. And one night, 10 years ago, while in Mississauga waiting for a couple of buddies to hook up, and they were going to go out and come downtown, 2 police officers approached him, thought he had drugs or was dealing. He did not. And they proceeded to beat Orlando Bowen. Orlando Bowen was taken to a police station where he was charged with assaulting police officers and possession of cocaine. And he sustained some pretty serious injuries. And that's where we pick up the story here on In-Depth Radio News Talk 1010. And again, we thank Orlando for coming into the station. So how bad were your injuries after being beaten?
So I was concussed.
Yeah.
It being in the cell, it felt as though the room was getting dark and then light and shrinking and then growing. It was a very surreal experience. So in terms of how I was feeling physically, I felt horrible. But I think the bigger challenge was how I was feeling about how everything was unfolding for me.
I would have been pissed. I would have been really, really angry, knowing that I was beaten and yet I was charged with assaulting 2 police officers. So they were processing you rather than releasing you as they were releasing other people. How does the story progress in the courts? Because they didn't necessarily back off.
Correct. So I was handcuffed to 3 other folks and taken to the courthouse and then went through the bail hearing, was granted bail, then went to the, you know, to the hospital. And then the court proceedings actually began. And I remember reading some of the statements that the officers said they would say in court. And I remember looking at my lawyer saying, they won't say that. That's not what happened. And I remember getting to the courthouse and watching, you know, sitting there and not being able to say anything and watching them put their hand on the Bible and take the oath to tell the truth. And then the words that came out were shocking. I couldn't believe that they were, you know, just really making things up.
They were lying.
Yes. And so sitting there, I was just wondering to myself, how could someone purposefully lie,
yeah,
no understanding what's at stake, understanding that someone's life is in the balance here? It didn't make sense. The only thing I could reasonably come to any type of conclusion or assumption was that somewhere along the line, they had been through something that had hurt them or broken them, And like I said in the letter, hurt people hurt other people.
And they're doing this to you, the football player who goes out into the community and tells people to trust the police and not to do drugs and you know, study and do all that kind of stuff. You're the person that this is happening to,
yes.
The CFL guy who is out in the community doing all the right things. Yes. They're saying that you beat up police officers and that you were in possession of cocaine.
Right. So as you could imagine, you know, the injuries that I sustained didn't allow me to return to my sport. I couldn't pass my physical, but the charges didn't allow me to go out and serve the way I'd been serving. Schools and organizations that I had worked with called and they said, listen, we wish you all the best in what's going on, but please don't come back here. So it was just a real challenge, even and especially in light of the fact that I was working so closely with the police to help bridge the gap in the community.
Did the cops that you were working with in order to going into the community and going into the schools, did they believe you?
I really don't know. Whether they believed me. I know that a number of officers had come to me over the course of the case and just said, I'm really sorry for what you're going through.
So let's we have to unfortunately do a long story short here. No what problem. Happens with the charges and what happened to the two police officers? I know one of them was convicted for basically, it looks like being a bit of a dirty cop, but that was unfortunately not linked with your case.
Correct. So when Officer Cook was charged with possession of cocaine and trafficking and all of those things. I got a call.
One of the two officers who beat you was charged with possession of cocaine and also with dealing.
Yes.
Okay. Continue.
Yes. So I got a call. I received a call from the prosecution saying, hey, Orlando, buddy, listen, you don't have to go through all of this. You don't have to have your name dragged through the mud. Why don't you just let us drop the charges? And everyone could go home and be happy. And I said, no, this is not about going home and being happy. It's about principle. And I'd rather be wrongfully convicted versus striking a deal on the premise that he was, you know, possibly involved in something else in some other case. I wanted to be acquitted and exonerated on the merits of my case, not some other case. So they took us to court and asked the judge to allow them to drop it. And the judge also said, no, I won't let you. Further to that, I've prepared my judgment for today. I find Mr. Bowen not guilty. These are the reasons why. So we fought to not have the charges dropped, which a lot of people thought was odd. Why don't you just want it to go away? But it's not just about going away. It's about, you know, doing the right thing.
And that doing the right thing. And talk about this open letter of forgiveness, forgiving the two police officers who beat you and put you through this scenario, forced you to retire from a sport that you loved early because of the concussion problems. Why was it important for you to forgive these police officers?
Well, I think that they didn't necessarily understand how I felt about everything that was transpiring as it was happening and the court case or what have you. There are people out there that don't have hope and that are losing hope. Hope in the system, hope in their relationships, or what have you. And they make decisions that align with that thought of not having hope. I thought that if I had an opportunity to say what was on my heart to these officers, I would like to do so. So I wrote the letter with that in mind. If they were sitting in front of me, what would I say to allow them to understand where I was coming from with things and that I wasn't harboring any anger or resentment? But the journey that it took me on really helped me understand what it meant to feel broken and to feel alone and to feel like the weight of the world is on my shoulders and to feel like I don't know what tomorrow holds and to question, you know, some things that I held to be true. Where I was now, you know, thinking, if this happened to me, what would be the response? What would happen if this happened to somebody else that was, you know, let's say a teenager or a newcomer? Who didn't have a voice, who wasn't out in the community making a difference, what would happen to them? Where would they find hope? Where would they find, you know, help? It became a story because of the work that I was doing in the community and the fact that I was a professional athlete. But, you know, my heart really broke when I was at the hospital and the nurse in emergency looked at me and she said, what happened to you? And I looked at my wife and I said, there's no way she's going to believe me. And I said, I got jumped. And she said, by who, the police? And I said, why would you say that? And she says, because I've seen it before, but usually is teenagers or newcomers, and that hurt me. I had a need to know that this was a 1 in 10 million type of occurrence.
And it's probably not.
And so when the nurse in emergency said that, that hurt me, and that's when I realized that this journey wasn't just about me, wasn't just about the officers. There are some issues that we need to resolve, right? And there's some things, and it's the same thing that I was committed to working towards before in terms of bridging the gap and building community, and that had to continue.
Well, I think it's a very, I want to link your open letter of forgiveness to the two police officers on the Jim Richards page of News Talk 1010. I think it's a very brave and probably freeing thing for you to do, and you're back doing your great work. Talk a little bit about the organization that you work with.
Okay, awesome. So I now speak, do inspirational and motivational speaking. I work with corporate clients, investors group, et cetera, the folks that work in sales. And through One Voice, One Team Youth Leadership Organization, we go out and we empower, and we engage, and we inspire young people to find their passion and to use their passion to make a difference, to go out and to serve. And, you know, there may be someone's out there that has felt broken or felt like the weight of the world is on their shoulders or felt like maybe they don't know how they could contribute. Well, One Voice, One Team is one avenue of many. Find your passion, find your gifts or your talent, and use that to make a difference somehow. Do something.
Orlando, great meeting you. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing your story.
Thank you very much, Jim.
We'll link Orlando's story on the Jim Richards page of News Talk 1010. It's 2:55. It's time for the Secret History of Rock. It's Alan Cross and the 20th anniversary of Super Runknown.
You can listen to Jim Richards live every weekday afternoon from 1 to 4 on NewsTalk1010.com.
It is 9 minutes after 3 o'clock here on In Depth Radio in Toronto, News Talk 1010. People in Hamilton have been, at least for about a year now, had to go through some things that you haven't had to go through, and that is being confronted by graphic images by an anti-abortion group. A pro-life group is delivering these graphic images. They've done it in front of schools. Imagine taking your kid to school or walking to school and having these flyers with graphic images of aborted fetuses confronting your kids, or maybe while you're driving down the Lincoln Alexander Expressway, there's a huge banner unfurled over an overpass confronting you with similar images of graphic aborted fetuses. And now one of the other things that they've done is they've got a flyer with the same kind of graphic images. And the flyer they have put in 50,000 homes in and around the Hamilton area. And your young kid might get home from school really early and will see that. Is that appropriate? No matter how you feel about abortion, I ask you, is that appropriate? 416-872-1010. Star Talk is star 8255. Would you want your son or daughter to get home from school and maybe reach for the mail and see that? Again, graphic pictures of aborted fetuses. Is that something that you want them to be confronted with? Well, the organization that's doing it is the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform. Let me just say one thing before we go any further, that many religious people who are connected to the Catholic Church think that this organization goes a little too far in trying to get their message across. And I would say, more often than not, I'm guessing that their message would backfire. And if you live in the Hamilton area, I'd like to find out how you feel about finding this stuff in your mailbox. 416-872-1010. Star Talk is star 8255. Give me a call. Stephanie Gray joins us right now, the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform. They're the group that is behind this movement or this move. Stephanie, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
What do you say to all the parents who have had their kids find your flyer before the parents could find the flyer?
Yeah, you know, blame Chris Charlton for being a representative in that area when she is in favor of the dismemberment, decapitation, and disembowelment of children. So we do need to be concerned about children, and we should be concerned about the children that are being killed because members of parliament, like Chris Charlton, enable that.
She's the NDP MP for the area, and you've decided to go after her specifically because she voted against an effort that some conservative backbenchers wanted. They wanted to have a discussion about when life started, and basically it was an open vote, and it was rejected by all of Parliament, but you're seem to be picking on her for some reason. Why on the NDP MP for Hamilton?
Well, she's actually one of many MPs that we are taking this message to. She's actually the sixth in a series of MPs we'd already started with last summer. But I think what's really important here is you raise what her position was on that vote, Motion 312, in which she voted against it. What's significant is just how extreme her position is, that by voting against Motion 312, she's supporting abortion through all 9 months of pregnancy. The majority of Canadians don't even share Chris Charlton's position. So the preborn child can be killed in Canada until the child has fully proceeded in a living state from the body of her mother. So if anything is extreme here, it's the likes of Chris Charlton and the NDP.
Do you feel comfortable with confronting people with these images? Their home is their sanctuary, and you are facing these people to confront something that they don't want to be confronted with.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think what jumps out at me there with what you just said, Jim, is that their homes are their sanctuaries, and the womb is the sanctuary of the preborn child. So when Canadians are indifferent to, apathetic towards, or supportive of the killing of the youngest amongst us, which is a charter violation, by the way, then absolutely we need to take this message to wake Canadians up from the slumber they're having in which they're indifferent to the killing of young children in our midst.
It doesn't sound shocking. Like you would stop at anything. I mean, I think parents want to make the decision when their kids are going to have to be confronted by graphic, violent images. And if I confronted your children, I don't know if you had any, with graphic, violent images that might not be related to abortion, but death and slaughter, I don't think you would like it either.
Well, you know, Jimmy, you raise a good point that we're actually confronted with imagery like that all the time. We see images on the news, on the front covers of newspapers. There's billboards that show victims of car accidents in which they didn't wear seatbelts, and those are very bloody. They're very disturbing. Anti-drug campaigns, anti-drinking and driving campaigns. So actually, yes, our children are exposed to shocking images all the time that let them know that some choices have severe consequences, and as a result, they should be avoided.
Yeah, I don't know if they're that graphic, though. So let me ask our listeners, has a pro-life group gone too far by sending these graphic images of aborted fetuses to 50,000 homes in Hamilton? 416-872-1010, Star Talk, Star 8255. We're with Stephanie Gray. She is from the organization Canadians for the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform. Your phone calls in a second. 15 minutes after 3 o'clock, in-depth radio in Toronto, News Talk 1010, Time Saver Traffic. I don't believe the fact that anybody who supports this would be okay getting home from work at 5 o'clock and knowing that their kid had just seen some really graphic, violent images that somebody decided to put in your mail. Now, because of your stance on abortion, you've decided to reshuffle the way you would think about that and say, oh, it's about the killing of whatever. Because of your stance on abortion, you're okay with young people being confronted by graphic aborted images of fetuses. That's what's happening in the Hamilton area right now, where 50,000 homes have been flyered with these graphic pictures of aborted fetuses, and parents have come home to find that their kids have seen this. And I think it's going too far. 416-872-1010. Star Talk is Star 8255 with Stephanie Gray. She's with the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform. Frank, how would you feel if you got home and you found one of these flyers that your kids have found in the mailbox?
I'd be appalled. I'm sorry. This is an issue amongst adults. Get the information to adults if you wish to. But I mean, this. I'm sorry. If this woman showed up on my door, I would
ask her politely once to leave, and then I'd get her charged with trespassing. This is crazy. We're past this point in 2014. This issue's been debated by everybody under the sun, and this lady is not ever going to get her way.
Stephanie?
Well, this isn't about me getting my way. It's about Canadians living up to our charter values, which says everyone has a right to life. I mean, even the NDP has a policy to support the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of the Child. And that policy says the child, by reason of his or her physical and mental immaturity, has rights to special safeguards and care before as well as after birth. So if
this
we're
always get, I get it. I hold
like
on
that,
one second. I get it that it always gets back to abortion for you, but we're talking about the tactics that you're using. We're not talking about abortion. We're talking about you having to stoop to the level that people who are even on your side think are reprehensible.
The point is, though, Jim, that the tactic is inherently tied in with the message. And if people are outraged at the picture, then where is their outrage that what's in the picture is happening, funded by our tax dollars, supported by our elected representatives, such as Chris Charlton? So the point simply is, you know, Frank says that he's appalled. Well, he should be appalled. I'm appalled, Jim. I'm appalled.
What if appalled I, what if I told
country,
you, what if I told you that Chris Charlton, the NDP MP that you're flyering out there, will probably win by a greater margin because of you?
Well, time will tell. I mean, I can tell you, Jim, that we do the projects we do, including this one, because we have evidence to show that this is the most effective way we can educate Canadians. And time and again, Canadians are changing their minds on abortion. And we've even had people who initially rejected us, they were angry at us, and they've come back in time and said, you were right, I was wrong, and I fully stand behind what you're saying and what you're doing.
The Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform, sending out flyers, putting them in people's mailboxes with graphic images of aborted fetuses. Do you support this tactic, Bill?
I'm going to preface this with the statement that I am both an atheist and I am pro-choice. Absolutely, I do. I think you do not have the right to not be offended. The cornerstone of our society is freedom of speech. If I were to get one of these things and my child saw it, I would sit my kid down, I would explain it to him, I would explain both sides. My interest is in getting my kid to think properly, not to tell him what to think. So I don't agree with her message at all. She absolutely has the right to say it.
Yeah, listen, I don't disagree with the fact that she's got the right to say it. I don't know that she should have the right to confront people, kids, with a message that, you know, parents might think is inappropriate. We hear all the time from people who say that parents should be deciding when kids learn about sex ed and all this kind of stuff. And so should parents have the right to determine when you're going to have the conversation about abortion? Or should your kid come home at 5 years of age? And I've been reading a lot of the Hamilton newspapers online interaction on this. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, my kids saw this. They're 4 years of age and they came home and they saw this. Susan, you actually live in Hamilton. Have you received one of these flyers?
No, I have not. And if I ever did and the person came up to my door with that nonsense, I can tell you right now the police would end up being involved. That is absolutely ridiculous. Do not preach your nonsense. And I say nonsense because if you have a belief, that's one thing. But don't you preach it to me. It angers me that you have Sherwood High School students hiding those damn posters, disgusting posters from 5 and 6 year olds that have to walk by that nonsense. And then you're going to bring it onto my private property? I can tell you right now, if you ever come into the Hamilton-Stony Creek border and I find one of those flyers and you're walking, you will be calling the police. That is exactly what you would be doing.
What are you
it
saying? Are you threatening one of them with violence? What are you saying?
You know, no, not with violence. I would verbally, it would not even be nice. That is disgusting. Who gives her the right to show stuff like that? Stuff like that in my mailbox. Nobody.
So, Jim,
do
if
you
I could
think
just
that the
jump
mail
in
lady,
here,
The only reason that you're walking from door to door and stuffing them in there yourself is because the government, our mail people, will not deliver that type of nonsense. I have a choice, and I believe that if someone does not want to have a child because it was a mistake, whatever, they have the right to.
All right, Susan, let's hear Stephanie Gray respond to that. First of all, Stephanie, can I ask you, is it true that certain high school people that are passing these things out will hide them if a 5 or a 6-year-old walks by?
I think she was making a claim which was misrepresented in the news that we had been near an elementary school and some teenagers at the high school we were actually at were preventing elementary kids from seeing it. There weren't elementary kids nearby.
But that's not something that you would do. You wouldn't preclude anybody.
We don't go to elementary schools. We don't go to elementary schools. We go to schools in which kids are old enough to have abortions with the idea that they're old enough to
You heard the anger of that woman who recognizes that Canada Post won't pass out your pamphlets, but you have volunteers that do it.
Well, you know, and what struck me about the caller's kind of rhetoric and the anger is she started by saying, how dare I preach, when in fact she's the one preaching. If you actually go online to unmaskingchoice.ca and see the postcard, you will see we're not preaching, we're stating a fact. NDP MP Chris Charlton supports abortion, and then we show what it looks like. We state the fact about her criminal code. We state the fact about her vote on Motion 312. We state the fact about her very words posted on Facebook in which she supports abortion. We state the fact that an abortionist in London, Ontario, kills preborn children up to 23 weeks in 6 days.
All right, let's take some more phone
calls.
So
we're not preaching, Jim. We're stating facts.
Here's Chris. One last call for Stephanie Gray, who's pamphleting the town of Hamilton, city of Hamilton, sorry, Hamilton, with graphic images of aborted fetuses. Chris?
Hi, Jim. I'm actually kind of disappointed to even have this woman on the air. She's a terrorist, as far as I'm concerned. I live in Hamilton. I drive on the lane quite a bit, and I've seen these posters or banners that they hang there. It's dangerous. It puts real life at risk. And so I don't understand how she's saying, oh, we want to save life, when they're actually endangering life. There has been an accident caused by one already. Fortunately, nobody died. But honestly, this thing with the pamphlets and the flyers, like a couple of your callers have said previously, if I ever found one of the people doing that, I would make a citizen's arrest and hold them until the police could come there and take them away for trespassing. It's time to get over this abortion thing. The case is closed on this. It's not happening. The Bible. The Bible says it's against gays. It says you shouldn't charge interest on loans. Trust, like, it's done.
All right, Chris. Stephanie, you make people pretty angry.
Well, you know, the facts of what abortion does makes people pretty angry, and our support of abortion as a Canadian society is making people really angry, because abortion isn't a good idea once you see a picture of it. You know, he calls me a terrorist, but what are terrorists? They're people who kill innocent people. So the case is preborn children are innocent people who are being killed. And, you know, he tries to claim we caused an accident. He'd call the police. The point is, if we caused an accident, the police would have charged us. They didn't. They showed up and said, you have a right to express yourselves. And if, you know, someone is driving down the road and looks out their car window.
Yeah, also,
and
I mean, it's
someone,
pretty graphic stuff. Probably should have been charged. I'm out of time, unfortunately. But my only point would be that, you know, billboards can't be so close to some highways. There are rules where they have to be back. So I think it's inappropriate to hang it over the edge. Stephanie, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks for having me on again, Jim.
All right. Stephanie Gray is with the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform. And do not go to their website. But you know what? They call it the Center for Bioethical Reform. And people got mad at me the last time I said this. They're super Christian-y. I'm not saying that all Christians are like that, but they're Christians. I mean, they make it sound like some science organization when really they're a religious organization.
Thanks for listening to the Jim Richards Podcast. Check out the Jim Richards Show live every weekday afternoon from 1 to 4 on News Talk 1010.com.